The Joe Torty Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torty Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torty Show.
Yes, it is. What is going on, Philadelphia? Good morning. Happy Saturday to you. Hope that you're having a great start to your weekend. Tyler Zuli is producing this program. I don't even know what to do with myself at this point. Normally at this time, we're previewing an Eagles game. We're talking about what the matchup's going to be. If not, we've been reviewing the game from the Eagles played on Thursday. I don't even know what to do now. I'm looking around the rest of the league. I'm learning about what other teams did at the trade deadline. I'm keeping an eye on the Sixers, who, of course, will be bringing you the Sixers game right here on 97.5 The Fanatic at 1 o'clock. I don't even know what to do with myself. I think when you take a look at things, the bye week is always a good opportunity to, you know, some people say get away from football. I think that's ridiculous. I don't think we can do that. It's not possible. No. Instead, I think it's a better opportunity than you often have during the course of the regular season to evaluate exactly where you are, who you are, what you are, what your needs are, what your deficiencies are, what you're really good at, who you actually are as a team. And when it comes to the Philadelphia Eagles, the exciting part of this whole thing is that despite the fact that the NFC East race is nip and tuck, the Eagles at 4-4 are absolutely 100% involved in the race. Washington's at 5-2, Philadelphia 4-4 in second place, Dallas is 3-4, and of course, those New York football Giants at 1-7. So I thought it'd be an interesting exercise to just take a look and try to figure out comparatively over the course of the next hour before Pat Callahan joins for This Week in Pro Football, to take a look and see where the Eagles stack up and how they stack up across the rest of the division. Understanding that obviously it's going to take something, I don't know if you'd call it full-on special, but the Eagles have to go 6-2 down the stretch in their next 8 games to get to 10 wins. I don't know if that's, you know, miracle level. I don't know if that's full-on special level, but that's probably a step below that. When you consider that there are very few teams at this point in the season that have as many as 5 or 6 wins. There's not a whole lot of them in the NFL. However, it has been done. It's possible. And in fact, outside of 2 divisions, the NFC North and the AFC North, every division has had at least 1 5-game winner. Well, actually, the Bengals at 5-3 are in second place in their division because they have 1 fewer loss than the Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's really just the NFC North that doesn't have that. The Bears and Vikings at 4-3, the Vikings with the tie as well. Other than that, yeah, it's difficult to get to 5-2, 6-2 in your next 8 games. But it's possible. And certainly other teams around the league have done. So what does that mean? What do the Eagles need to do? Well, first things first, it comes down to what's the most important addition that they made. Golden Tate, obviously. You can circle Golden Tate and say the Golden Tate trade was the one big move that the Eagles made at the trade deadline. There were a lot of people who were suggesting that the Eagles should go offensive line shopping, that perhaps the running back position would be the best way to go, and there were some other ideas as well in the secondary. However, looking at what Golden Tate brings to the table, you have the question now of like, all right, well, how does this affect the team? How does this impact the Philadelphia Eagles, and how did the group get better because of this? Where is their wide receiving core in relation to the rest of the NFC East? It's a relevant question. The Giants stink at 1-7, but I don't think anybody would say that Odell Beckham Jr. and Sterling Shepard and these guys are bad wide receivers. Say what you want about the return and the price for Amari Cooper, but certainly the Cowboys are better at wide receiver than they were before Cooper arrived in town. For the record, just so that there's no ambiguity, I think that was a garbage trade. Giving up a first-round pick when you're seeing what Golden Tate fetches and what Josh Gordon fetched and a couple of other, that's horrible, giving up a first-round pick for Amari Cooper. But Cooper does make your team better. And if you're inside Dallas and you're inside that war room and you truly believe that the Cowboys are poised to take the division and that Amari Cooper puts them over the top, I at least understand it. That, of course, brings us to Washington. And when you look at Washington's depth chart at wide receiver, I mean, there's no way to look at it other than it's kind of head-scratching. You got Jamison Crowder listed as a starter. He who is oft injured and banged up. He will not be in against Atlanta this week. Paul Richardson, Josh Doctson, Maurice Harris, Brian Quick, Michael, on and on and on. You're looking at all of the players that they have had on their depth chart over the course of the season. And it really makes you wonder how they made it work. Brian Quick, Michael Floyd, and Maurice Harris are the depth wide receivers. Josh Doctson, Jamison Crowder, Paul Richardson Jr. are the starters. You look at that group and you wonder how in the world, with Alex Smith at quarterback, that team's been able to get things done. Before the season, we kind of chalked Washington up as being a mystery team, that it was difficult to gain too much perspective on, and it was tough to figure out how many different ways that season could go. I think a lot of people would not have been surprised with losing Kirk Cousins and bringing in Alex Smith that team took a nosedive. I think that there would be people that would not be terribly surprised if Washington had one loss and anywhere in the middle. You can kind of see it coming where Dallas has gone, where Philadelphia has gone, if you knew what to watch for early on in the season, especially, not necessarily in the preseason. But Washington has kind of been that mystery team, even as they've jumped out to a 5-2 record in the division. When you look at it, though, now that you have Golden Tate added into the mix, the question becomes, what does he bring and where do the Eagles stack up? I would argue that you've seen the Eagles offense take two significant steps this season. Watching the Atlanta game was so painful. I mean, people were like, oh, they won the game. It was great. No, okay. You're watching the offense go. Well, go is a loose term when you consider what the offense did. Kind of scuffled around and it once again required Julio Jones to have a full-on borderline contagious for the rest of the league, it seems like, in the early portions of the season, a touchdown allergy where he just can't get in the end zone and catch the ball. He can catch the ball or he can be in the end zone. Not both. So that's what happened. And I don't mean to incite the Folesian society this early in the morning on a Saturday. I know that most of you are sleeping in and hanging out. But the truth is that when Carson Wentz returned, results aside, right, with Indianapolis, the offense took a step forward, and it was a jump. You saw the offense take a major, like, vroom. You went from first gear to second gear, right? And everything that you thought were the limits of the offense before, you had a new ceiling, a new higher ceiling with Carson Wentz. But Wentz is not the only one that prompted a big jump like that. In fact, I thought it was more noticeable when Alshon Jeffrey returned to the offense to fill the role that he had played last year, last season. And so you look at him coming in, and that provided a spark as well. I think when you look at it, the Eagles offense was so exciting to watch last year. I don't believe that, you know, the rest of the league is just caught up to the offense. I don't think that that's the case. I just think they didn't have the horses early in the season. No LeGarrette Blount. Jay Ajayi looks sluggish. No wide receivers to speak of, especially after the Tampa Bay game when Mike Wallace got injured. I think every time you're seeing someone come in and play a role or fill a gap that was on the offense before, you're going to see the offense take a jolt forward. That's what I think Golden Tate adds. Because here's the truth of the matter. Nelson Agholor is a nice wide receiver, especially when he's in the slot. He's more or less replacement level when he's outside. And I think that anyone who looks at it a different way is kind of fooling yourself now at this point. Saying, oh, it was a first-round pick. Okay, I get it. There are first-round picks, though, sometimes who end up to be nickel corners or safeties instead of cornerbacks or whatever. Players are what they are. Nelson Agholor, I don't see him as ever being a significant outside threat. The good news, though, is that when you acquire Golden Tate, a guy who does have speed, a guy who's had, as far as I'm concerned, depending on the connotation, an unfair label of possession receiver slapped onto him, you're looking at a potential for the Philadelphia Eagles to have another jolt forward. Another opportunity to change gears. So that down the stretch, the offense is really starting to rev up. And so, be able to keep pace with all of these other teams. Washington, who's trying to shore up their defense, trading for Ha Ha Clinton Dix. With the Cowboys, who acquire Amari Cooper to try to jumpstart their offense. It's turned into a race, an arms race, in the NFC East. And the Eagles kept pace at their price. Markelle Fultz, you think about the Sixers, right? In order to keep pace with the Boston Celtics, Markelle Fultz is going to have to step up and be a player because the Sixers struck out in free agency this past offseason. Similarly, if all of these other teams are getting better, and the Eagles are injured and banged up and not having guys come back and everything else, you needed to see something happen. Enter Golden Tate. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. As you take a look at the bye week here, and you sit back, and you have the opportunity to pull yourself out of Lincoln Financial Field and be able to just sit back and analyze and look at where the team is after this trade, you can say what you want about the third round pick. I've got to be honest. I have been disappointed with the early return so far of the Eagles' new draft and develop strategy. I was told that with Joe Douglas coming in and Howie Roseman newly dedicated to the draft and everything else, that you were going to see the Eagles start nailing the draft more. And that hasn't happened. So I've heard people make this argument and say, oh, well, that means that you just shouldn't draft at all. And it doesn't make any sense. And you might as well trade away every draft pick. I'm not saying that. I'm not going to go that far. But what I will say is that a third round pick, when you do have 2 second round picks, I would argue that that's not game breaking. That that's not something that's going to set your franchise back by trading for Golden Tate. Who, if you consider yourself still a Super Bowl contender, and you want to keep pace with the other Super Bowl contenders, then this is the exact kind of move that Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles take. 610-632-0975. We have a couple of open phone lines if you want to weigh in. I know it's early morning. If you can't call in, we can still get your point across on Twitter if you follow at Joe Tordy, T-O-R-D-Y, and at 97.5 The Fanatic. I want to hear in particular, like, I think there are a lot of people who think that this is a good trade, who like the trade. But if you disagree with the rationale, if you disagree with the motive for adding Golden Tate, I want to hear from you too, because maybe there's something I'm looking at that I missed. Let's get back to the phones to start things off. Tom and Glenn Mills leads us off. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
Joe, good morning.
How are you?
Listen, man, I've been excited about this all week. I haven't had a chance to call in. I'm moving this week, but I'm driving to my new place, and I got some time. So
okay.
In,
beautiful, Tom.
I love this Golden Tate trade. I hate to make the fantasy football analogy, but sometimes it works, and in this case, I think it does because you need consistent guys on fantasy. And I used to pick Golden Tate when he was matched up with Megatron. I used to pick him every year, dude.
Uh-huh.
And he used to kill on my team. And I'm just picturing him with Jeffries now, Alshon Jeffery, and he is gonna like it's that's. And then you got like Agholor in the middle of that, like mixed in and peppered in with
Ertz. I mean, the whole thing. It looks good. It looks a lot better than it did before the trade.
they're going to be so dynamic, and he's so much more than a slot receiver. People don't really, I think people know his name, but again, with fantasy, when you pick a guy like that, you really have a reason to watch him.
Sure, you do your research. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And that dude is, he's sick, man. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to save the world, but when you pair him with Jeffrey and everything else we got going on, and then Wentz, dude, it's going to be hard to stop. They're going to have to put some serious pressure on us. And then, you know, Wentz is amazing with the pressure. So, I don't know, man. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what happens.
Tom, I'm excited, too. Thanks for the phone call. And that's what I mean. That's where I see the team getting a lot better, because of all the receivers that were on the market. Like, I would have been interested in Demaryius Thomas, right? I think that that's a guy who could have potentially helped out. I didn't even think that Golden Tate would be available. I know that he was at the end of his deal, and some people did. Some people knew. Some people called this show and were talking to me and saying, Eagles need to be totally on the Golden Tate train. And I never dismissed it, because I'm like, Golden Tate would be great at. I just didn't see that Golden Tate would potentially be available. But you look at what Tate does as a receiver who could play inside, outside, was also a high school running back. So we've seen him motion into the backfield and get carries periodically. If he can do that two or three times a game, that's a new wrinkle for Doug Peterson, already one of the more creative play callers and play designers in the NFL. On top of that, it allows you to move Nelson Agholor back to his natural slot position. I've heard people actually ask this, and I don't mean to, you know, disparage, but people have actually asked, well, what does this mean for Jordan Matthews? It means that Jordan Matthews had a really good game against Jaguars D-backs who were literally on the taxi squad because everybody was banged up. Jordan Matthews, thank you very much for everything that you did. We'll see you in the red zone periodically here over the course of the rest of the season. But if you can play Golden Tate and Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey versus Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor, and Jordan Matthews, one of these things is significantly better than the other. There's no way around it. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Ari in Warminster next. Good morning, Ari.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
Tremendous. Thank you, man.
I totally agree. I think the Golden Tate acquisition was huge. I think, you know, you just talked about Jordan Matthews, and he's actually played pretty well. And, you know, he would be the fourth receiver, which is honestly where he should be.
Right.
So you're right. You move Agholor back to the slot. You now have a legit number two receiver in Golden Tate to take the pressure off Alshon Jeffrey on the other side. It opens things up a little bit more in the middle for Ertz and Goddard. And I think for Carson Wentz, you had another weapon. And I think one of the things that he struggled with a little bit since he got back was, you know, finding somebody else other than Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz. And I think that this is going to force that a little bit, because Golden Tate is so good, you're going to need to find him. And if you're Doug Peterson, you have to find a way to get him involved, and that's going to be better for the offense. And it'll keep the defense off the field longer. It'll increase their time of possession.
Ari, the only thing that you didn't mention that is the other benefit is that I see this potentially helping the ground game as well, because you're not going to see so many stacked boxes, knowing that Alshon Jeffrey is the only one that you really have to worry about. With everybody more or less back to their natural positions and adding in a talent like Golden Tate, you're not necessarily going to be able to just load up against the run.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a great point. I like what I've seen from Josh Adams recently. Smallwood is what he is. I hope Clement can maybe get back to what he was last year. But you mentioned it also, Golden Tate was a running back in high school. This guy can do those jet sweeps. So you have potentially Josh Adams as your, you know, downhill runner. Smallwood can come into Clement third down. And you can also mix in Golden Tate as a running back in the backfield and move Agholor to the outside. So there's so many options. And I think that this offense is really going to take off. You'll see it immediately, I think, next Sunday night against the Cowboys.
Looking forward to that, Ari. Thanks a lot for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. That does open up a phone line, 610-632-0975. Yeah, don't forget. I mean, I don't know how you could, but the Eagles are just about to embark on the big swing through the NFC East. Now, I've said this before, that Washington, as far as I can tell, has the upper hand the rest of the way schedule-wise, only because they have not played the Giants yet. So they've got two games against the Giants coming up. I'm not going to say that any game in the NFC East is a walkover, but in 2018, the New York Giants are as close as you're going to get. I mean, when you look at what the other teams have done against the Giants, that's as close as you're going to get to a walkover. However, having said that, I don't think that now with this infusion of talent in Golden Tate, I'm not saying that he's the cure-all. I'm saying that I don't know how really far away the Eagles were to begin with, and this is something that helps you out immediately. Now, just pretend. I think Mike Wallace is going to be out, period. But pretend that Mac Hollins comes back, and then he has anything to give you, and then you go five deep at wide receiver, each guy being able to do something more or less different than the others. That helps. You want to be healthiest down the stretch. You'd love to be healthy all season, but if you have to choose, you'd rather be healthier at the end than the beginning. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Let's go to the Northeast and Ted. Good morning, Ted. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
Not too much, man. How you doing this morning?
Oh, man, wonderful, man. Listen, bro, I'm going to go another angle, man. I'm going to say Golden Tate is the cure-all because if you look at how the offense produced last year when we started out on fire, we used to jump on teams and get the big leads, which forces teams to pass, which plays right into our pass rush hands.
Sure.
I mean, you don't give teams the opportunity to start running the ball early because they're not hanging around. Because each time they're stalling out, we get a big stop. Our team is going down, and instead of putting three up on the board, you're putting up seven or six, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I believe he is the cure-all. Offensively, Doug has a new toy to run the same things that Aguilar's been running. I looked at some things last night, not that I'm an expert or anything, but, you know, when I saw the trade went down, I had to look at Golden Tate's highlights. And it's amazing that he's running the same routes that Aguilar runs. He's actually doing some of the same things that we require Aguilar to do, but he's doing it better. He's getting that 5 to 10 yards, you know, off of with a jet sweep.
Sure.
And you know, he's making that big catch in traffic, you know, and he's making a guy miss. He's never getting tackled by the first guy. This is big. I think we're back. I think the run is about to happen. And I wasn't scared to begin with. We're the champs. E-I-G-L-E-I-Eagles! I love this team, baby. Let's go. Go.
All right. All right, Ted. Bringing it at 9:20 on a Saturday morning. I respect that energy, man. That's awesome. Yeah. If that doesn't get you fired up, I don't know what's going to. I got to say this, though, too. I've said it for weeks now that you can blame the defense all you want for blowing leads. The offense is the one that's not doing their job statistically compared to last year. Defense is doing the exact same things before. If this offense even inches back up into the 27, 28 points per game range versus where they've been, you're talking about a team that's fully capable of going on that run. It all starts next week. And really, it all starts this week with getting Golden Tate acclimated and everything else to what the Eagles are doing. But we'll see. I cannot wait to see what this team's offense looks like with their newest addition. 610-632-0975. Speaking of which, by the way, the run, if you haven't seen it, the yards after catch is the biggest difference between Golden Tate and any other receiver on the roster right now. I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's stronger. I don't know if he's more explosive. I don't know what it is. But on all of those, like, Wes Welker whip routes and things like that, you're always seeing him pick up yards after the catch. And he's running through tacklers and making guys miss and things like that. It's an element that's not a huge part of the Eagles receiving core before Golden Tate arrives. Now that he's there, I think that that's going to be something that you see big time. 610-632-0975. This is the Joe Torty Show, taking you up until 10 o'clock. Pat Callahan from This Week in Pro Football joins then. You can keep it locked right here. Tyler Zuli's producing. We're taking it until noon overall right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Look out below! A baseline two-hand jam by Embiid!
Sixers Pistons today at 1.
On your home for 76ers basketball.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's that time of year again to consider replacing your old drafty windows and doors before another cold winter season rolls in. So delay no further and call my good friends at Guided Door and Window. You'll feel at ease with the no-obligation, no-pressure approach of the free in-home consultation with one of Guided's knowledgeable reps as they work to assess your needs and provide quality window and door options at an affordable price. And if you decide that Guida is the right company for you, you'll be able to start enjoying all the benefits of their expertly installed, highly energy efficient windows and doors without putting any money down, and you'll get the luxury of paying off your project interest-free for up to 36 months. Not to mention, you'll also receive 20% instant savings off all windows and doors. So that's 20% off all windows and doors, $0 down, and 0% interest payments for up to 3 full years. But you must act now. This offer is for a limited time and restrictions apply. For full details, call Guida today and schedule a free, no obligation in-home estimate. The number is 1-877-GO-GUIDA or check them out online at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com.
It's the little things, like knowing every Friday is Black Friday at Peebles. Because all month long, we've got new doorbusters every Friday through Sunday. This week, come in for 60% off women's and girls' boots, $9.99 throws, and buy one, get two free Carter's for Kids. It's an incredible 75% off fine jewelry, too. Why wait for Thanksgiving when you can score Black Friday deals all month long? Check in every week to see new doorbusters. Peebles. Little things mean everything. Peebles is part of our Sage family. Offer exclusions apply.
I'm Rocky Moselle with StarRegistry.com. Naming a star is perfect for birthdays, romance, or memorializing a loved one. For $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit StarRegistry.com, you'll receive this timeless gift. We'll record the new star name in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. For over 40 years, we've named 3 million stars for royalties, celebrities, and individuals worldwide. Call the Star Registry, 800-282-3333, or visit StarRegistry.com for the ultimate gift.
It's not just any TV.
Mom, can we watch something on YouTube?
Sure, honey.
It's Xfinity X1, which gives you customizable streaming TV with your favorite streaming apps like Netflix, YouTube, Pandora, and more. All in one place on the big screen.
No, wait, let's watch Netflix.
And you can find your favorites by speaking into your X1 voice remote.
Show me Stranger Things.
Plus, with xFi delivering the best Wi-Fi experience, streaming is easier than ever.
Oh, are we having a Netflix marathon? Count me in.
It's customizable streaming TV from Xfinity that makes life simple, easy, awesome.
Get a special offer on Xfinity Internet, TV, and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 years with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get DVR service included for a year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Offer ends 11-18-18. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply. Netflix streaming membership required.
Experience Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13. The laptop for people who never say no to one more episode.
Hi there. I'm calling about my dinner reservation at 7. Yeah, I'm not going to make that.
With lifelike color, brilliant sound clarity, and uninterrupted streaming, Dell Cinema technology on the Dell XPS 13 with an 8th-gen Intel Core i7 processor makes whatever you love to watch even better. To learn more, call 800-BY-DELL. That's 800-BY-DELL.
You check things all the time. Like your email every 10 seconds, or your ex's Instagram. But what about checking something as important as your credit? Well, Discover makes it quick, easy, and best of all, free. Discover is now offering FICO credit scores to everyone for free, even if you're not a customer. And checking your score won't hurt your credit. We call it the Discover Credit Scorecard. And once you know your score, you should check to see if your current credit card is the best fit for you. Check your credit, compare your card. Go to discover.com/credit scorecard. Limitations apply.
It's the little things, like knowing every Friday is Black Friday at Peebles. Because all month long, we've got new doorbusters every Friday through Sunday. This week, come in for 60% off women's and girls' boots, $9.99 throws, and buy one, get two free Carter's for Kids. It's an incredible 75% off fine jewelry, too. Why wait for Thanksgiving when you can score Black Friday deals all month long? Check in every week to see new doorbusters. Peebles. Little things mean everything. Peebles is part of our Sage family. Offer exclusions apply.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Now through December 15th, get special financing for 60 months or discounts up to $1,000 on a qualifying new American Standard heating and air conditioning system. Subject to credit approval, see store for details. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find a dealer near you.
Meineke. Stay on the road worry-free year-round. Save time and money at Meineke on all your service and auto repair needs. Plus, free towing when you become a Meineke Rewards member. Visit Meineke.com for a total car care center near you.
Sports Talk for Haddon Heights and all of Camden County.
97.5, The Fanatic.
back. Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Taking you up until 10 o'clock, Pat Callahan. And this week in pro football, begin there. 2 hours, two of the smartest hours in all of football discussion history. Want to remind you, Rodney McLeod's teamed up with 97.5, The Fanatic, to support cancer research through the American Association for Cancer Research. When you donate to the AACR, you'll be entered into the ESPN Ultimate Birds Fan Experience Contest. Winners will receive two tickets to the Eagles game on Monday, December 3rd against Washington. That game's looking better and better every single week. Field passes, a tour of the ESPN film truck, meet Rodney McLeod himself. Donations are not necessary to enter the contest, although we hope you will contribute. Join him on his race to $23,000 for cancer research. Go to 975thefanatic.com/donate. Okay, we're talking about Golden Tate. We're talking about what the trade means for the Eagles. I'm sure that that conversation is going to spill into this week in pro football with Pat Callahan. If you want to weigh in on this conversation, you can right now. You have open phone lines, 610-632-0975. I was reading an article, by the way, beforehand about why this trade might not be a good thing or the best thing, which was kind of surprising to me. And I'm thinking about it. I'm, you know, we can evaluate it. We can go through, you know, why that would have been the case. Because when you look at Golden Tate in particular, I don't know why that would, you know, be a negative trade at all. I laid out the reasons. I don't think the cost is prohibitive. I think that he adds things. Okay, so here we go. This is from NBC Sports Philadelphia, Andrew Culp's article. Four reasons why the Golden Tate trade isn't as great as it seems. So, once again, not saying that it's a bad trade, but not as great as it seems. First concept is cost. Says that the 2019 third-round pick the Eagles sent to the Lions is steep, even if, and I do mean if, a compensatory pick comes back. Tate is 30 in the final year of his contract and averaging 10.8 yards per catch with 18 touchdowns over the last 4 years. And while there's a lot of talk about the Eagles recouping a compensatory pick if and when he departs, that isn't necessarily the case. The formula for comp picks also accounts for the Eagles signing free agents, as they often do, which could effectively cancel Tate's departure. Even if a pick comes back in 2020, likely won't be a third or a fourth, as that's based on the money being paid to an aging number two wide receiver. At best, the Eagles swapped a high mid-round pick for a late-round selection. They may get nothing at all. Let's not forget the estimated $3.7 million the Eagles are paying Tate. Doesn't sound like a ton, but it's $3.7 million less than the Eagles' carryover into 2019. Interesting perspectives. A couple things that I would point out. First things first. You look at the compensatory, if you are making a trade based on the fact that you might get a compensatory pick, that's like full-on irresponsible. There's no way that you should be making trades based on expecting to get compensatory picks. That's insane. First of all, the compensatory pick is such a huge, that formula is such a well-kept secret. Like before, the way that it was that your top free agents, the top ones that you lost and then the top ones that you'd signed, would just cancel each other out. So if you signed somebody for $2 million, even though your best player got signed away from you for $18 million, they canceled out. And that, therefore, the third round compensatory pick was out the window for that guy. Now they've adjusted it, changed it, altered it, and it hasn't played out the same way over and over again. What I'm saying is that if you're banking on it being a third round compensatory pick, that's insane. It's just crazy. You make this trade based on the player himself. Now, in terms of the salary, $3.7 million that you're paying Tate, that sounds like a bargain when we've talked about everything that Tate brings to the table. We've talked about all of the things that he can add to the offense, all of the different roles that he can fill. It sounds like it's a bargain for me. So we'll take them one at a time over the next half hour here. But for now, the cost of the trade doesn't necessarily affect me all that much. I talked about how I've been underwhelmed with the Eagles' draft and develop mentality over the last couple of years just because the results haven't been good. They haven't been good at drafting, and I would argue they haven't been terribly good at developing. There have been some good surprises in there. Avante Maddox has stepped up and been a player when they've needed him to be. And there are a couple of other examples on the roster as well, but it hasn't been this renaissance that a lot of people expected it to be, where all of a sudden they turn into the Ravens or the Steelers or whoever you consider to be the good drafters in the NFL. So a third-round pick when you've got 2 seconds is not prohibitive for me. 610-632-0975. Will in Newtown's up next on the Fanatic. Good morning, Will.
How you doing this morning?
Okay, how are you?
Good. You mentioned about Tate and the fact that he gets yards after the catch.
Yes.
He was asked why in an interview, why he does so well in that area. I thought it was really interesting what he said. He said two reasons. One is every time he catches the ball, he expects to get a touchdown. It's just a mental attitude. He said, number two, he said, I was a running back in college, and he said, and I'm blessed with these big legs, and it's just hard for guys to get me down.
Makes sense.
Especially the backs. And I want to comment on us giving the third-round pick.
Yeah.
A famous coach once said that the draft is overrated. And what he meant by that was, you look at, like, for instance, the best quarterback who ever existed, Tom Brady, sixth round. Joe Montana, fifth round. It's just how many guys don't make it, even in a first-round pick. First-round picks don't make it.
True. So it's an educated crapshoot, for sure.
It is. And here's Tate. Is there any doubt that Tate is an NFL receiver?
No.
Tate is a good receiver? There's no doubt. So who's this third-round pick that we gave up? Is he going to be a Tate? What's the chances of a third-round pick being a Tate? I think it's pretty slim. What do you think?
Yeah, it's a good point, Will. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. In the interest of being completely accurate, Joe Montana was a third-round pick, not a fifth-round pick. But still, the logic holds. Like, Brett Favre was a second-round pick. Drew Brees was a second-round pick. I get it 100%. Based on the Eagles' draft history, I think you're right, Will. I think that you haven't there's no assurances, let's say, that you're going to draft a Golden Tate in the third round. Tate himself was a second rounder. When I look at the overall, you know, what it means, I think that that impact is way, way more important than a third round pick. I really do. Especially if they end up re-signing Tate. Because that's the other element to this whole thing, is that there's a chance that they could re-sign him. There's a chance that he would, you know, they could franchise him or transition tag him if they wanted to do that. I think that Tate is eligible for the transition tag. So that could potentially be an option for them. But it seems like if he is a good fit, and this has been the case with other free agents, I've pointed this out before when I've said that Philadelphia is not a free agent destination. I don't consider it to be a free agent destination because people generally don't choose to come to Philadelphia for whatever reason over other places. However, once they get here, and once they get ingrained in the culture, whether it's the coaching staff or the facilities or the team or the fans or whatever it is, once you get here, you fall in love with the place. It reminds me exactly, and don't take this as an insult because I don't want to undersell how much I appreciate what I'm about to tell you. It's like the first time that I ever had Brussels sprouts, like fried Brussels sprouts in Philadelphia. And I was like, that sounds horrendous. That sounds like garbage. And the people that I went with to this restaurant, very famous restaurant on 2nd Street, for their, kind of roasted fried Brussels sprouts. Like, don't worry about it, man. Like, whatever you thought about boiled Brussels sprouts, it has nothing to do with it. There's bacon and there's honey and all this other kind of stuff. I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. I don't like it, but I guess I'll try it. I cannot go back now. Okay, I can't undo my love for the roasted Brussels sprouts with honey and bacon, okay? Something that I never thought that I would enjoy. That's kind of how Philadelphia is. A lot of people, oh, Philly, that's a rough city, man. Oh, those fans are tough. Oh, they booed this guy. They threw snowballs at this guy, blah, 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 everything else. And then you get here, and you realize that there are very few places sports-wise that are like this in a positive way across the entire league, across the entire country. That's where I think that a guy like Golden Tate, if he's a quote-unquote Philly fit, and we'll find that out sooner rather than later, there's the chance that this partnership extends way beyond just the next 8 games or 10 games or however many games end up ultimately happening this season for the Eagles. It's not just a third round pick for a rental. If there's a fit, the Eagles have shown that they're willing to commit longer term, not necessarily long term, but longer term to players that they believe in, that they think are good fits with the coach, with the locker room, with the scheme, with the culture. So we'll see if that ends up being the case. I'm excited to find out, because based on what I've seen of Golden Tate in Detroit, I anticipate that that might be the case again this year. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Also, follow the show on Twitter at Joe Torti and at 97.5 The Fanatic. One more segment coming your way, and then Pat Callahan joins me. We will take you through this week in pro football. That's from 10 to noon. Keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic. He averages 74 yards receiving per game. He's caught 44 passes for 517 yards and 3 touchdowns in 7 games this season. Since 2014, no wide receiver has more yards after catch with 2,790 yards. He's tied for 6th in the league in third down receptions this season with 15. He's a Pro Bowl wide receiver and a Super Bowl champion. And now, he's an Eagle. Welcome to Philly, Golden Tate. We're talking Eagles football on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
I'm here with Mike Keim, president of Univest Bank. You know, we hear a lot of banks talking about a personal approach, Mike, to business banking. How important is the relationship between a business owner and their bank?
We believe it's vital to having success, much like a player-coach relationship. You need open lines of communication and a healthy respect for each other. That feedback makes the relationship more successful.
Well, we've all seen good and bad examples of this play out on the field or court. So how does a business owner really know what kind of relationship they're in?
Ask simple questions. Who's listening to who? Are you working with people you like? At Univest, our team takes this very seriously, investing the time and effort needed to understand goals, hurdles, and provide the personal attention needed to succeed.
And for more business insights and the power of local decision-making, just visit or call Univest Bank today. That's Univest Bank and Trust, a member FDIC.
When you're faced with heart valve disease, you don't have time to stop and catch your breath. Your life is on the line, so it's go time. And the good news is, you don't have to search far for a team to stand by your side. At Penn Medicine, our cardiologists and surgeons are the region's most experienced in using advanced tools and technologies to repair or replace your heart valve. We've pioneered incredible breakthroughs in heart valve treatments, from TAVR to robotic surgery. And we continue to develop and perfect the latest innovations in both minimally invasive and surgical heart valve procedures. With access to this care through our dedicated heart valve centers, backed by the region's number one heart program, you can stop struggling with valve disease and start enjoying the rest of your life wholeheartedly. Another reason your life is worth Penn Medicine. Learn more at PennHeart.org/valve.
It's the little things, like knowing every Friday is Black Friday at Peebles. Because all month long, we've got new doorbusters every Friday through Sunday. This week, come in for 60% off women's and girls' boots, $9.99 throws, and buy one, get two free Carter's for kids. It's an incredible 75% off fine jewelry, too. Why wait for Thanksgiving when you can score Black Friday deals all month long? Check in every week to see new doorbusters. Peebles. Little things mean everything. Peebles is part of our Sage family. Offer exclusions apply.
Right now, the Home Depot has up to 40% off appliance special buys, plus up to $500 in instant savings, like a stainless steel Samsung gas range for just $598. A Black Friday price early. Take on the biggest family meals with room for dessert. Want to get Black Friday savings on appliances? This is how. The Home Depot. More saving. More doing. U.S. only. While supplies last. Instant savings require a minimum purchase of 2 select appliances to qualify. See store for details. Valid through November 29th.
There's a time and a place for black and white. Like when you're learning to play piano. Or when you want a big two-toned cookie. Or when shopping for a pet zebra. But if you want to attract customers, there's no room for black and white. So go to Staples. Staples specializes in bold, hard-to-miss color printing. And now at Staples, get 20% back in rewards on color printing. From banners to brochures and copies to presentations. Print more color, save more money at Staples.
In-store only. Ends 11/10/18. Restrictions apply. See store associate or staples.com/20back for details.
Would you like to see actual magic? All you have to do is call 1-800-GOT-JUNK and prepare to be amazed. We make junk disappear right before your eyes. All you have to do
is point. Send us a signal and we'll be there in clean, shiny trucks
and snappy, happy uniforms.
Point at anything you wish was gone. Gone!
We're really good at this.
All you have to do is point.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Pro football's more fun with a $2 Yuengling Lager Draft at the Whitpain Tavern. Enjoy it with 50-cent wings during all the games. Get the wings during Philly hockey, too. Hey, you can set your watch by the specials. All you can eat crab legs all day Sunday and Monday nights. Weekend breakfast until 2. And weeknight happy hours. There's always something happening at the Whitpain Tavern, Thursday open mic night, live music Friday and Saturday nights. And it all goes great with a Yuengling Lager. The Whitpain Tavern, 1529 DeKalb Pike in Bluebell, PA.
You need to survive much more than the cold to be a polar bear plunger. It takes courage, bravery, and heart. Each year, these winter warriors jump to frozen glory to raise money for Special Olympics Pennsylvania athletes. And with a plunge taking place at Drexel University's Recreation Center on November 30th, you're not far from a polar plunge in your area. Join in the many, the brave, the ones who are freezing for a reason. Visit plungepa.org to learn more.
This season, make tough jobs easier with the free Loan-A-Tool program from AutoZone. From AC and engine repair to exhaust and brakes jobs, there are over 100 specialty tools to help you get the job done right. Deposit required. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, final segment solo before Pat Callahan steps in for this week in pro football. Joe Torta here with you on The Fanatic. Tyler Zuli is producing. Your phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. All right, let's go through reasons 2 through 4, according to NBC Sports Philadelphia, why the Golden Tate trade isn't as great as it seems. Number 2 is redundancy. It's unclear how Tate fits into the Eagles' offense. A 9-year veteran carved out a niche as a gritty possession receiver who works the short and intermediate areas of the field, which sounds an awful lot like Nelson Aguilar's role. With 5 consecutive seasons of at least 700 yards receiving to Aguilar eclipsing the mark once, Tate is unquestionably the superior player, but the Eagles are relying on Aguilar to continue producing, and so far he hasn't demonstrated much consistency. Can Tate and Aguilar coexist? They must, but that doesn't mean great results for both. Of everything that the author, Andrew Culp, has written in this article, this one's the worst, or at least the most difficult for me to logically get behind. Fit for Golden Tate seems like an interesting way of putting it when you consider that it's just a straight-up talent upgrade. When you look at, say, a slot receiver, say that you had, you know, Cole Beasley, and then you trade for peak Wes Welker, and you're like, oh, well, these guys do, like, some of the same stuff. It's like, okay, they do the same stuff, but Wes Welker's way better at doing his stuff than Cole Beasley's doing his stuff. Way better. I'm not worried about Nelson Aguilar, to be honest with you, because Golden Tate comes in. If Golden Tate is a bigger, better Nelson Aguilar, who, by the way, Aguilar had a huge season for the Eagles last year, if that's the case, then sign me up for that. But also, the addition is that Nelson Aguilar hasn't been doing Nelson Aguilar things this season. He's been playing on the outside. He's been asked to be a wide receiver. They've had Jordan Matthews in the slot because they've been banged up. They didn't have Mac Hollins. They didn't have Mike Wallace. They haven't had all these guys. Shelton Gibson hasn't shown any reason for the coaches to be confident in him. Carter is just a special teams guy. You're running out of people that you would count on to catch the ball, period. So instead, Nelson Aguilar has been cast to the outside, where for the first couple of years of his career, he was thought of as a full-on bust who's never going to be anything in the NFL. I'm not worried about Nelson Aguilar's role when you're talking about bringing in Golden Tate. In fact, I'm saying that Tate, I'm confident enough, can play on the outside rather than just exclusively as a slot receiver. I cannot say the same thing about Nelson Aguilar. It's the same conversation that we had about Ben Simmons moving off the point guard position, where I got absolutely skewered for even suggesting that Ben Simmons not play the point guard position so that you could get Markelle Fultz in there. My argument is that if you don't think that Ben Simmons can still impact the game at the four, he's not as good as everybody says that he is. Or you don't have the confidence in him that you should, that he's earned from you. Whereas Markelle Fultz has shown that he can't necessarily impact the game positively when he's off the ball, but he can at the point guard position. The best thing for your team is to do that, to have Markelle Fultz play the one and Ben Simmons play the four until you get everything else figured out. It's the same thing here. With Golden Tate, he can play outside. Nelson Agholor, I'm not sure that he can. I don't think that he's made the impact outside in order to say, all right, well, he is going to be stifled by moving him back inside. That's actually where you want Nelson Agholor. That brings us to the issue number three on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Larger issues. Obviously, Tate's arrival does nothing for the state of the running back position. Same for the offensive line, defensive line, and secondary. Eagles have a number of major injuries. Lane Johnson will miss a bunch of time. Sidney Jones and Darren Sproles have been out a while. Tim Jernigan's a mystery. Ain't that the truth? Jay Ajayi and Rodney McLeod aren't coming back. There are many concerns of wide receivers. That doesn't seem like it would fit with the rest of his sentences, but he says that there are many concerns a wide receiver solves. Forces out of his control aside, Tate also does little to upgrade the offense in one of the areas that struggled most. The red zone has just 21 career touchdowns from inside 20 yards and only three since 2016. Eagles ranked 17th in red zone efficiency after finishing second in 2017. Okay, that's fair. Let's address this one by one, right? You're not going to trade for offensive line help. Everyone who got traded or acquired at the trade deadline offensive line has some kind of glaring deficiency that's wrong with them. Every single player. Just go ahead and look at the list. There weren't many of them. There's no one that you consider a stone-cold upgrade at the offensive line position. Defensive line, who changed hands, who moved that you would have liked to have acquired? Secondary, you can talk about Quentin Dix, but Patrick Peterson didn't get moved. Deion Buchanan didn't get moved. A lot of these other guys that people had circled as potential trade targets ended up staying still. Which brings us to the running back position, right? I don't know that Golden Tate does nothing for the state of the running back position because you watch Josh Adams, Wendell Smallwood, and company. When confidence is shown in the ground game, they actually try to utilize the run game. It's been effective. Are they running for 200 yards on every team? They're not. But if you've got Golden Tate in there as another legitimate wide receiving weapon, and you don't only have to pay attention to Zach Ertz, who you can more or less defend by having your safeties in run defense position and then checking to Zach Ertz. Alshon Jeffrey being the lone wide receiver that potentially could command a double team. There hasn't been a whole lot of room to run for these guys. So if they are undermanned at the running back position, you're putting them behind the eight ball by not having wide receivers out there that can take attention away from a stacked box. And finally, issue number four, the record. There remains a great deal of optimism for the Eagles in 2018, according to this article in NBC Sports Philadelphia. Despite being a game and a half back of Washington and a half game ahead of the Cowboys, NFC East is wide open with two games each against both squads. Wild card spots are up for grabs, too. Eagles have a 4-4 record right now with aging players and impending free agents and potential cap casualties at just about every position on the roster. You can question the wisdom of any move that diminishes the ability to rebuild in 2019 when the playoffs in 2018 are far from a given. I think that this issue kind of misses on two counts. First, that Howie Roseman has said why they do this. That they always have their pedal to the metal. They're always going to be focused on winning games and upgrading for this season. They're not necessarily keeping an eye ahead. That's not going to be a motivating factor for them. However, I think that there's also something to be said for the fact that when you are a team that is consistently competing for Super Bowls and is a constant division winner, you become more attractive to fringe free agents in the offseason. That's how the Eagles were able to attract the guys that they did. Supposedly, right? The Eagles are better on paper than they were a season ago. Now, it hasn't happened record-wise. They're 4-4, where realistically, at this time last year, they'd have been 7-1. But in terms of rebuilding, the draft is not the only way to do it. I would say that it's the best way to do it, as long as you're good at drafting. But until the Eagles prove that that's the case, then I'm not necessarily looking at it and saying, all right, well, this is a surefire miss for them because they gave up this third-round pick and they won't necessarily be locks to win the Super Bowl this year because of the move. It's logic that that I don't agree with for those two reasons. Thanks to everybody who called and tweeted in this morning, my co-hosts for the first part of my shift this morning. Thank you very much to Tyler Zuli, who did a great job producing. Of course, he's going to stick around for This Week in Pro Football. Pat Callahan and I, man, oh, man. Every time I think I'm making up ground in the dreaded pick segment, Pat Callahan gets his hotline to God and gets the picks down from on high. I'm going to see what I can do. I brought in the big guns this week as well, so we'll see if I can I can get closer there. And, of course, we'll continue breaking down the Golden Tate trade and everything else across the NFL. All of that is coming up and more this week in pro football, so stick around. Keep it locked right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.